God is speaking today. You need to understand that. God is speaking today. He wants you to know that, that He is speaking to you. He's calling out to you. He's giving an invitation to you. In Matthew 11, verse 28, this isn't going to be my text today, but this has been kind of going around in my mind all week. Jesus cried out. It was almost as if the heart of God was crying out to all humanity. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I'm lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. You will find rest. Not you might, possibly, maybe. You will find rest for your soul if you come, if you take upon you His yoke, if you learn of Him, if you learn of Him, you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy. Religion's hard, but the yoke of Jesus is easy. He doesn't lay upon you anything you can't bear or that He doesn't bear for you. He's not like the Pharisees who wouldn't lift a finger to help those that they were telling, you need to do this, you need to do that. Jesus isn't like that. He invites us to come and enter His yoke with Him. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's really the opposite of the yoke of this world that many of us take upon ourselves. We join ourselves to the yokes of this world, and they're heavy. They're burdensome. And they don't produce rest and peace. Actually, the opposite. They cause anxiety, unrest, hopelessness. But Jesus says, come to me and I'll give you rest. So who is He calling? Everyone. Anyone that's been oppressed, anyone that is weighed down with guilt, which we all have when there's unconfessed sin in our lives, when we know we've done wrong, we carry guilt. Those trying maybe to come to God and produce their own righteousness, trying to be good enough so God will accept me, that's a worldly yoke as well, and it's heavy. It will not give you rest, and it will not produce the righteousness that only comes through Christ. Those overwhelmed maybe by worldly calamities. I told my wife the other day, I don't even like reading the news anymore. I immediately get anxious. I get upset. I get heavy. Because the world is full of calamity and unrest. And when we enter into that yoke, we are going to experience that. And many, many, many souls are overwhelmed by what is happening in the world. But Jesus is calling us out of that. Maybe those that are restless because they're pursuing after happiness in this present life. And they're expending all their energy to try and find happiness in something that can never really bring happiness. Maybe temporarily, but ultimately it will really only bring about death and emptiness. King Solomon said, vanity, Vanity of vanities. This was a king that was the most prosperous king in all of the history of Israel, who had everything, all the riches from all different lands. He had, you know, hundreds of wives and concubines. It says at one point that whatever his eyes desired, he didn't deny himself. We think that would be heaven. But you know what he said? It was all vanity. It was like grasping the wind. And there's people pursuing things of this life, and it's empty. You get a hold of it, and it's gone. It's like trying to grab wind. And it wears you out. And people are wore out pursuing the things of this world. Others are wounded. They've been hurt by people. Because we're all sinners and we hurt one another. So there's people that are hurting because of sinful people. There's people that have been disappointed. And again, people loaded down with a guilty conscience. And Jesus' invitation is to come. Come to me. So I want to look at a story this morning, which to me is a picture of coming to Jesus with a need that only he can meet. Okay? So if you want to go ahead and open your Bibles, you can open up to Mark chapter 5. This is when Jesus was here on the earth. He was walking among us. God was walking among us in the flesh. When he spoke, people were astonished. There were places where he finished speaking and people would say, "We haven't heard words like this." And it says they were astonished at the things that were coming out of his mouth. They said the religious leaders, they don't talk like him. They were amazed because his words were spirit and they were life and they were truth, because God was here in the flesh and he was doing miracles. The blind were seeing. The lepers were being cleansed. The harlots and the tax collectors were coming to repentance and salvation. There was miraculous things going on because God was there. See, when God is in the midst, anything can happen. That's why when we come to church, people, we should expect anything to happen because God is here. He hasn't changed. He's not a different God that was in the Bible. The verse that kept coming to me all week that I read to you earlier in Luke 18 was, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth?" And that's what we're going to see here, is a picture of someone who had faith. And God is challenging us as his people today. Will you have faith in the Son of Man? Will you have faith in him? Will you believe everything he has promised? Will you fix your eyes on him? Will you begin to believe all of his promises, everything he's spoken to us in his word, and not doubt? And ask and receive what you need and what others need. That's why I said what I said earlier. The more I walk with God, the more I'm able to serve him and minister to people, the more I understand I need him more. Not just for myself. It's not just about me. Really, most of the time, it's for other people. Because I need his eyes when I look at people. When I look at someone that in the natural we would write off, I have to see them the way Jesus sees them. I have to understand what Jesus can do. I mean, I can remember what he did for me, but you know, we forget sometimes, and sometimes I'll look at people and I'm like, yeah, but I don't know about this one. Jesus never thinks that way because he understands what he can do. So we need to see. And that's what faith is, really. It's seeing as God sees. It's seeing like he does. So this woman we're going to look at in Mark 5 somehow saw him as he is. Somehow, she got it inside of her to actually believe that Jesus was her answer. Nothing else. You know why? She tried everything else. We're going to look at this. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. It says, there was a woman, and she had a flow of blood for 12 years. Now, I want to explain this a little bit because we could say, okay, so she had an illness. Okay, I get it, you know. But, okay, that how far beyond it does it go than that, that she had this illness, but obviously maybe she was able to do life and whatever. No, because she lived in the Jewish society, because she lived under the law, she was in a constant state of being unclean, according to the law. So she could have no fellowship with anybody. She could not touch anybody. Nobody could touch her. She was basically an outcast because of her affliction. And she literally had to, when she was out among people, yell out, unclean, unclean. So everyone would understand that they couldn't touch her or get too close to her because they would become unclean if they touched her, and they'd have to go through a whole purification process. God was teaching us something about his holiness in all of this and the need for us to be cleansed and made whole by him. And he used this illustration. Jesus was teaching us something really about all of our condition. Because really, we're all unclean before a holy God. And this woman lived it. 12 years. It says she had endured much suffering under the many physicians. She had spent everything she had, and she was no better. Instead, she actually got worse. Now, that's a picture of us trying to fix our problem with the things of this world, the philosophies of this world, the teachings of this world, the ways of this world. It really just gets worse and worse and worse because there's only one that can fix the problem of the soul. I'm reading a book now. Someone's asked me to endorse, and it's talking about madness. He's defining what madness is, or mental illness. And when you read it, I felt like the Pharisees, remember when they were questioning Jesus and he kept answering, and then finally they said, I'm not asking him anything else. In other words, he shut them up basically by just answering with such wisdom and truth that they were left speechless. That's how this book is when it comes to mental illness and all the labels we have labeled people with and drugged them up and told them you're this and you're that. Anybody here that doesn't have a good understanding, I'm going to give it to a bunch of doctors I know that love giving people pills. They need to read this because they're supposedly believers. And they're giving people a false diagnosis and a false way to cure the so-called illness they have. I'm not going to get too into that because it's too upsetting to me. what we're doing to our youth, our children, through these things. And it's all a lie, it's all false, it's all about money, and it's ruining people's lives. And the only answer really is the gospel. And I'll just say, when the book comes out, if you want to understand how that all works, I got a good book for you to read. Because this guy uses the psychiatrists and all the, it's called the DM5, it's what they use to diagnose people. He uses their own stuff to show they don't know what they're talking about. And they admit it. Now you understand, we're talking about soul issues. I'm not talking about someone that's got cancer that you can diagnose with a test that needs treatment and needs to go to the doctor. I'm talking about mental illness. I'm talking about issues of the mind that we have created multiple labels, multiple diseases that are basically just theories. And we use medications and we treat people like lab rats, giving them all different kinds of things, hoping one of them will work, not understanding the damage the drugs are doing. I didn't plan on sharing any of that in my sermon, so just take it. She'd been to all the professionals. But listen, she got something in her head. It says in verse 27, she had heard the reports concerning Jesus. And she came up behind him in the throng and she touched his garment, because she kept saying, if I can only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. So somehow she had heard what was going on. She had heard what Jesus was doing. And she got it in her heart, in her mind, that, you know what? I believe in this Jesus. I believe what he is doing is true. And I believe that if I could get to him, if I could just touch his garment, I know without a shadow of a doubt I will be healed. Faith. She believed the reports. We have all the reports. They're all in here. This is not a fairy tale. This is real. And you know what? This still happens today, all the time. Just doesn't happen much in America because we have too many things that cause us to not have faith, because we don't need faith. We got this and that to treat what God could only treat. But I've been in a lot of third world countries where they don't have all the resources we have. I've been in services in Cuba, I remember, where I didn't even have the faith. And I was just praying for people. And later on, I heard a bunch people were getting healed. But you know what? We'll see later. It was their faith. But it's normal there. You know why? They have nowhere else to go. And they know it. And so they realize, Jesus is my only hope. But you know what? I believe he can do what I need. And God just moves in miraculous ways. That's what we need here in America. That's what we need in the church. We don't need methods. We don't need programs. We need the power of God. We need the Holy Spirit working through people. We need God manifesting himself like only he can. We need God intervening into people's lives like only he can. That's what happened to me. That's why when Rose said that this morning, I said to her, that thought is like unthinkable to me, unimaginable. Because I know what God did for me. It was a miracle. But it was nothing for him. So she believed. And then Jesus came to her town. And she got excited. She heard, she believed, and she came. Now, you got to understand something. When Jesus was here and when Jesus came to a town, there was a lot of people because they had heard the report. So there were always crowds around Jesus. So this woman who was unclean, remember, she couldn't touch anyone. She had to yell out unclean. She had to get through this crowd to get to Jesus. And I don't know what happened. I could just only imagine what it might have been like. But I could picture people, you know, getting upset, pushing her away. Get away from me. She's unclean. She had to deal with a lot of rejection and a lot of opposition. But you know what? I don't think she cared. Because you know why? She had a need and she understood. I am in an impossible situation. There's nowhere else to go. I have tried everything this world has to offer. Are you there yet? Are you there yet? Has it gotten into you yet that what you need is not out there? Has it really got sunk in yet? You can keep trying, but I promise you, you will not find what you need out there. That will just be more heaviness, more emptiness, more hopelessness. When Jesus is saying, come, I'm here, I'm in town. I'm right here before you. So she had to fight through some things. She had to fight through pride. She had to fight through caring what people thought. We have to fight through some things to come to Jesus. We have to let go of some things to come to Jesus. We have to humble ourselves to come to Jesus. We have to be desperate to come to Jesus. Are you desperate yet? Jesus is in town. It says when she touched him, verse 29, that immediately her flow of blood was dried up at the source. In other words, when she touched Jesus, he went to the root of the problem. You know what this guy talks about with a lot of the mental illness? You know what the root of the problem is? Anyone guess? Unbelief. Unbelief and the wrong faith, basically. Romans 1. Romans 1, read it. That's where it all comes from. When we basically say, no. No, he didn't make me. And when we suppress the truth of God, we become fools. And I'm telling you, when you read the DSM-5 and all the stuff from these so-called brilliant men, you read it and you realize they're fools. And they say it. I'm telling you, they say it in there. We don't know what we're talking about. It's crazy. But yet we call it science. And it's not science. Science is something that can be proved by fact and experimental truth. They don't have that. Because they're believing, it's a false faith. It's the wrong faith. It's faith in man. So when you do that, when you reject the truth, we become fools. Jesus goes to the source. I've worked with people many, many years. I can't tell you how many people came to us, 5 different kinds of medications, all different kinds of issues, addictions, you know, I could just go through depression, all different things. And it always came back to the same problem. Unbelief. Selfishness. In other words, looking at me and everything revolving around me and how everything's affecting me, instead of getting our eyes on God and seeing things from His perspective and understanding things from His perspective. Because like I said earlier, all of us are going to deal with different things. All of us are going to be affected by different things from life. And when we don't deal with them properly, and if we don't understand them from God's perspective, we try to cope with it in our own way. And that's where all these disorders come from. PTSD. A lot of our soldiers, police officers suffer with this. That is not a disorder. It's actually normal to react to an abnormal situation that way. If they didn't react that way, then you need to worry. You understand they're reacting normally to something that's not normal. What they're doing out in the battlefield or police officers, the stuff they're seeing and experience, that's not normal. So when they don't know how to process it, they're really just reacting to something that human beings should not experience on a daily basis. That's why you need the Lord. The only way to get through that is with God and understanding things from His perspective so you can deal with it. But it's not abnormal. I remember one guy I talked to who had been overseas 3 times. And it was like the lights went on for him when I just said, that's not abnormal what you're dealing with. That's actually normal. And when I said, what you saw, a guy was blown up 3 times. I said, that's not normal. So I understand why you're having the thoughts and the nightmares. It's your mind and just your body reacting to something that no human should experience. Now let's look at how we can get to the root of that problem and help you with that. Because Jesus goes to the root of the problem. It was dried up at the source. And it says she felt in her body that she was healed. And Jesus, recognizing in himself that power preceded him, had gone forth, he turned around and he said, "Who touched my clothes?" I want the kind of faith that gets God's attention. You know, like when I come to him or I'm praying for someone, something comes from the throne and God says, who was praying? Power just went out from my throne. Who was that? Oh, Jeff's praying. I want that kind of faith. Frank's praying for somebody. Jan just asked me for something. She's got faith. That's what we need, people. We need to come to God that way. She learned the secret of tapping into the power of God. She knew she was healed. But verse 33 says, "But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told the whole truth." You see, when someone encounters God in that way, it kind of puts us in our place. It helps us to understand who he is. And I think she realized who he was. Now the problem was, most of her experience was with the Pharisees. But she knows now, no, this one is greater than the Pharisees. But her knowledge of the law and the Pharisees and how they were, she's thinking, great, he wants to know who touched him because now I've made him unclean. So he wants to know who touched me. And she's trembling because she understands this is a holy man. This is a holy God. And I'm unclean and I touched him. And he wants to know who did it. But what does he say? He said to her, "Daughter, ooh, daughter." What a loving, see, he's gentle, he's lowly in heart. Daughter. my child. That's the heart of God. We don't see him that way. We think we're going to come and, you know, you dirty little thing. How dare you come into my presence? Don't you know who I am? Go clean yourself up, then come talk to me. No, Jesus says, come as you are. Jesus was unclean the whole time he was on earth. That's why the Pharisees couldn't stand him, because he loved being around sinners. He ate with them. He was unclean all the time. It was not the norm. But he said, that's who I came for, the sick. Those who are sick, those are the ones that need a physician. I came for sinners. I didn't come for the righteous, those that don't need me. I came for women like this. I came for the blind men who cry out to me, Son of David, have mercy on me. I came for the demoniac that no one could help, that was out of his mind, running in caves, cutting himself. Those are the ones I came for. But you see, you know what our problem is? We don't understand we're the demoniac. I am totally insane without God. And that's what he says in the book. He says, we're all mad. He says that. We're all mad. And when you understand the definition of what mad is, and that's a term that has been used through the centuries, it wasn't until the mid-1800s, you know, the term mental illness came out, but they still call it madness. But when you understand the depravity of man and our fallen nature, we're all mad. I hear voices. The problem with some people is they internalize it. They begin talking to the voice. You understand, when you give yourself over to something, it will master you. And then we label it this thing. But man, I talk to myself all the time. Don't you? No one else hears voices, it's just me? Well, you're crazy. What do they do? You know what my wife went into the doctor the other day. You know what they said? First question, she said, we have to ask you this now. Are you depressed? She's like, no, I'm not depressed. That's the new question now when you go to the doctor. Are you depressed? I always say, if they asked me, if they like really grilled me, they would think I was insane. So, because some days I wake up and it's just all black. Nothing changed, nothing happened. I don't know what it is. It's just living in this fallen world. It's just part of my nature. But I don't have to choose to let that dominate me, because I have the truth and I could choose to believe this and I can act on it, and then God pulls me out of it. I don't know why I'm getting off. This was not part of my... I don't understand why I'm doing it. So this is for somebody. You know what Jesus said to her? Go in peace. Go in peace. See, if you come to Jesus, you'll find rest. Go in peace. And then he says this, be whole of thy plague. Now you got to understand the Greek in that, because she was healed, wasn't she? So why is he saying, be whole of thy plague? She's already healed. If you understand the Greek and the root of all that, really what he's saying is continue to be whole. In other words, this isn't temporary. Continue to be whole. Because when Jesus does something, it's for good. See, I'm not Jeff. Hi, I'm Jeff. I'm a drug addict. No, that was the old guy 25 years ago. But the world says, no, you're that the rest of your life, and you got to wear that label. I'm not a drug addict. That's not who I am. Jesus, the Bible says, such were some of you, but you've been washed, right? I'm a new creation in Christ. That's my new label. I have a new identity in Christ. Be whole of thy plague. Continue whole. Not be whole. Continue whole. 1 John 5:4 says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. So I want to just ask you a question to end this morning. Will Jesus find faith in you? In you. Today. Now. Right now. Do you believe he is who he said he was? Do you believe this is true? Do you have a problem? Do you have an issue like this woman? Does it feel impossible to you? Well, guess what? Jesus is in town. He's here. But I guess the other question is, are you desperate enough? Are you willing to not care what people think? Because, you know, they might say things about you. They probably did about this woman. But are you willing to just come? Humble yourself and just come to Jesus and find the rest, the peace you're longing for, you need.